Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here with the very last Deep Space Nine episode, except Telepathy War, because that's going to be its own thing.
Yeah.
We're halfway to getting to Telepathy War.
It's true. We've done Unlimited. We've done DS9 now, where we've covered, like, beyond where those issues would have been.
Yes.
Now we just have Voyager and Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
And then we can do Telepathy War.
Yes.
Even though we know how it ends a little bit because of the previously on of issues 14.
Yeah, but so we're not going to spoil that.
No.
So what comics are you reading lately that you're enjoying?
Flash Gordon.
Okay.
I've been getting the Nyx and the X-Force stuff, and I appreciate the dynamics of X-Force now.
Do you mean NYX?
No, X-Force.
You said Nyx and X-Force.
Yeah.
Yes, and NYX.
Yes, and I'm saying I appreciate X-Force.
Yes, but it's called NYX, not Nyx.
Whatever. I'm still going to say Nyx.
Okay.
Like the goddess of the night in Greek mythology, for those who played Hades. So I like Sage, and there was some good character development, even though Forge still sort of seems like a dick.
Oh.
And Nyx was a fun romp.
Oh.
So.
Which it's still going. Like, that's one of the ongoing titles, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the usual Space Ghost. Mm. I picked up Sweet Paprika.
Yeah.
That Steve Orlando is writing. And it is also a fun, very queer romp.
Yeah.
For adults.
Yes.
And I've been going into the Flash Gordon universe.
Interesting.
So I still need to find Defenders of the Earth number one. But our local comic store got number two for me.
That's nice.
Or three.
Then you found number two somewhere else.
Yeah. At Hot Comics in North Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
When they were having their sale.
So many sales over Black Friday.
I know.
I mean, this is coming out in January, but...
we're still feeling the effects.
Yeah.
We even passed up a mini con of sorts at Can Can Wonderland.
Yes.
Which is like a, not a Chuck E. Cheese. It's got like mini golf. It's like an adult version, but with more fun things.
Like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. Like some sort of arcade things. And like you pay a cover and you get unlimited tokens to go forth and do stuff. Okay. But I've heard really good things about the mini golf course there.
Oh, okay. I have a coworker who designed something there.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, the karaoke booth that's in a car.
Oh.
He constructed that.
Oh, like you're driving on a road trip and...
I have no clue because I haven't been there.
Yeah.
But I was on that search committee where he explained it.
Someday we'll get there and it'll be great.
Yeah. I found a giant chunk of the New Teen Titans / New Titans run for 50 cents an issue.
Yeah.
During that same weekend. And I consulted Mr. Scott Free on what was there and what was missing and everything. And he's like, oh, the missing issues make sense because it's something called the Judas Contract. I don't know.
It's a whole event.
Yes. And I had my eye on these things at dollar bins for a while. And then they're like, all of our back issues are 50 cents. And then I went there and finally picked them all up. And they're all in perfect condition. They weren't even in bags and boards, just tossed.
But nothing bent, nothing funky?
No.
That's awesome.
Like, just as if they were brand new.
Oh.
So, as of recording, I'm working my way through some of that, which I don't know half the characters.
You're but, like,
but I can't...
I'm learning who the real person names are for these characters, not just like Starfire and Beast Boy.
And also there's someone named Jericho, but his real name is Joey. And I'm like, why didn't you just stick with Joey?
Very silly. Asa just had some sips and then licked the sheet. But to be fair, the hay cube was there.
Yeah, she had a hay cube she was working on. So she's just trying to clean some stuff up.
Any potential source of crumbs she will go after? Not unlike Nick.
Yeah.
Our floofy boy who got his scent gland cleaned. Dads.
Yeah.
Why would you do this to me?
And now we know how to check.
Yeah.
And he's not the worst of the worst. Like, yeah, it's a little messy, but like what they were describing other buns, and I've seen like some disgusting things in Facebook rabbit groups where it's like this came out of the sink line and it's like a solid white chunk.
Cool.
Yeah, which apparently from what they're describing today, like it smells horrendous when they clean out things like that.
Yeah. So our boy is a little bit messier than the ladies, but he's not bad.
Yeah, the ladies like they get checked. It never really needs to be cleaned.
No.
So,
So at least Asta will be happier, sort of, that she doesn't have to travel to get her nails done.
yeah.
Like, it's only a level one crabby instead of a double crabby,
Yeah.
having to travel, be bun handled, and
Yep.
then travel again. So,
All right, let's dive into issues 14 and 15. They're both one shots.
they are.
There are no connected storylines anymore.
But there are a lot of references, especially in issue 14,
Yeah.
to past episodes. So it's got Worf on the cover. And he's saying, buy this book or the Tribble gets it, as he like holds a phaser to a Tribble, because Tribbles and Klingons do not get along.
And we're gonna find out reasons that are lies as to why.
Yeah. So we get Worf with a very large phaser rifle on the promenade that is covered with Tribbles, and Quark narrating, I've never seen a pair of eyes so cold before, not even on a Klingon. When Worf saw those fuzzy things still lying in heaps all over the promenade floor, his eyes filled with a hatred I haven't seen since Grand Nagus let a Bleeding Heart Federation trade representative tell him he ought to donate some of his hard-earned latinum to the Planetary Development Fund.
Yeah.
And when Rom tried to tell him that his maintenance crews were gathering the Tribbles as fast as they could, Worf snarled at him in a Klingonese and lifted a phaser rifle to his shoulder.
So is it Klingonese or Klingon? I thought you just spoke Klingon.
You do just be Klingon.
Okay.
So, generally, Mr. Chip Carter is credited this time as Tribble.
Yes. He is the paramount overseer
Yeah.
of everything. Didn't catch that.
No, but.
Maybe I'll write him an email and be like, Chip Carter, you missed this in issue 14 of Star Trek Deep Space Nine from February 1998.
No. But I feel like there's a few other things
There,
that happen, like even within the show.
yeah.
With pronunciations or just other words that just seem strange.
So we get a group that's just sort of hanging out and trading stories.
Yeah, so it's Dr. Bashir, Chief O'Brien, Jadzia, Odo, and my personal favorite, Morn, who just sits there, and currently everyone just has one glass in front of them. Quark is explaining about the shrieks of all the dying tribbles and how it's so terrible for a Ferengi. And those harmless tribbles, when Worf opened fire on them, absolutely lobe-shattering. And Jadzia's like, he's making this up. I happen to know that nothing remotely like this ever happened. And they're actually just waiting for Worf to show up, because he lost a bet. He lost 4 out of the 5 rounds of sparring with Jadzia. So he's basically sort of sulking. But Klingon would never admit that.
True.
So there was sort of, that gets them all talking about what's the deal?
With Klingons and Tribbles, why?
Why do they hate each other? Why was there like a whole expeditionary force sent out by the Emperor of the Klingons to destroy Tribbles? So, they sort of go on with more chatting. Worf, yeah, sulking, says he doesn't want to go because the place still reeks of tribbles. And O'Brien's like, Quark was right about one thing, though. Worf does hate tribbles, and Odo says a lot. But she's like, well, yeah, everyone knows that Klingons don't like tribbles. And O'Brien's like, well, I've heard a story or two about that. Gather around and listen closely.
So this is Chief O'Brien's story on why the Tribbles and Klingons don't mix.
Yeah. So the story begins.
Back in the olden days,
The
lived in Eisenhower's America.
Klingons. Yes. They weren't always dominated by the warrior ethic that rules them now. They've always had a violent streak, and the picture above is like a TOS Klingon about to behead a more modern-looking Klingon. No, there was a time when the heart of the Klingon people was a lot softer than it is today, and in those days, the Tribbles lived among the Klingons as beloved pets. And someone in the background is like, come on, Chief. I think I'm talking to the Synthale here. You expect us to believe that Worf told you that his people were once teddy bear hugging powder puffs?
That's homophobic.
Yes. And O'Brien's like, you think I'd make a thing like this up? That's why it's so difficult to believe. It's the truth. So even the Romulans were like, har har, look at how soft the Klingons are.
And then they like attacked the Klingons because of that.
They're like, oh, they're so soft. They're so weak. So they launched a massive attack, and the neighborhood with the picket fence and the 1950s style house with one Klingon raking while the other one walks their tribble, even though two unleashed tribbles are at their feet, is now bursting into flame. You get a silhouette of a old-fashioned warbird. Massive fleets of starships on both sides shed their crew's lifeblood in the cold, inky wastes of space. With this long and terrible war. But with the Klingon people's warrior spirit had risen to the occasion in the process, and once Klingon blood has been brought to a boil, it could never again be reduced to a simmer. So that's why the Klingons and the Romulans hate each other so much.
And then the Klingons went back to the homeworld and they got
They
garbage trucks
got garbage trucks for their tribbles.
and like mulched them.
Yes. Because they needed to get rid of this symbol of their
Weakness.
weakness, domicility, whatever. And then some Klingons even just beam them into space.
Yeah, it's sad.
And cruel. So off they go. They even went over to the Klingon or to the Tribble homeworld and obliterated every last Tribble predator, every trace of them. So, victorious against the defenseless creatures, the Klingons felt avenged, and they rarely speak of the incident, which has been stricken from all Klingon history records. See the DS9 episode, Trial and Tribulations, which really is a great episode.
It really is. So that is Chief O'Brien's take on everything.
And we come back to a picture of them at the bar, or
At the
where,
table.
well, tables at the bar. And there are maybe two empties per person now sitting on the table, where at first there was only just one.
That's a good pickup. I didn't see that.
So Odo's like, I don't think this is right. First of all, because Worf was pretty clear about why the Klingons obliterated the Tribble homeworld, it wasn't because the Tribbles were estranged pets. It was because the things bred too fast, ate everything in sight. Worf even called them an ecological menace. And Bashir is like, that's not the only thing about your story that doesn't ring true, Chief. It's not like the Klingons to do such a poor job of obliterating something they want obliterated. But O'Brien's like, well, the Klingons were angry and they got sloppy, so they must have missed a few. And don't forget, these Tribbles came back with us from the 23rd century, which I think is why there's an ensign holding a bag of Tribbles. It's got like a biohazard symbol on it, and he's puffing. Like it's very heavy. And I don't know what's happening with that one, with that one panel that's out of place from all the dialogue. So. Bashir comes up with his own. Like, as a matter of fact, I once wrote a medical paper during my academy years that might shed some light on this topic. I was studying the morphological and immunological differences between Klingons of various racial types and did a considerable amount of research into Klingon medical history. And he's like, oh, you know how Klingons now don't look like the Klingons of back then? And they're like, yeah, that's true. When we were on K9, K7, K7,
Yeah, K7.
no one knew what a modern Klingon was. And so
Bashir
Bashir,
then launches into his take on everything.
which I gotta say, some of the art around these is fun. Like, it's a big picture of his face next to K7. when he's talking about the phenotypes and sort of referencing back to no one recognized Worf. So these tribbles created the Klingons' forehead ridges. And Jadzia is like, oh, yeah, right. And he's like, no, they did. Tribbles are the key to everything. They're biologically incompatible with Klingon physiognomy. I don't know how to say that word.
And basically, what he's saying is that tribbles caused an allergic reaction in the entire Klingon race
Yes,
that,
which is so absurd.
which like gave them cranial ridges. And the reason why is because at the end of the original series episode.
Kirk was like, get all these tribbles off of my ship.
And they beam them onto Koloth's ship.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can't beam them
Koloth?
back,
Core?
Koloth.
Okay.
We can't beam them back to K7 because they have their own infestation to deal
Yep.
with. So instead, what we're going to do is beam them on the only other location we can think of, which is the Klingon ship.
So then they brought them back to Kronos, and
It started a rash on their forehead, and
yeah.
Koloth is like, I can't show weakness. I can't say, oh, I was defeated by these Federation people, and now look
Yeah.
at my face.
Yeah.
So they went back, it spread, and guess what? Now they even have really long hair to sort of go with their warrior vibe.
Yeah. So that's the medical explanation as to why there are ridges.
Yeah, and why the appearance changed.
Yeah, and that's why they're so mad at the
And now, I think Morn is drunk because there's a
tribbles.
little like starburst in front of his face and
Oh.
someone spilled a drink.
No.
But that table is now getting more crowded with empties because now it is time for Jadzia's
Yeah,
explanation.
Jadzia is like, oh, well, in one of my past lives,
There's nothing.
I was an adventurer.
I was there. There's nothing better than an eyewitness account.
And
And
they're
that
like,
was.
why haven't we heard of this previous host? And she's like, oh, well,
I don't like to think about my treasure hunting days when I
yeah.
used to collect valuable relics from other planets' religions. But not gonna lie, that's at the bottom of a page. And I thought she was gonna talk about Kurzon because it's
Right.
always Kurzon and the
Yeah.
Klingons and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Like, I still have my own issues with, like, why is Dax still so obsessed with Klingons? Like, you had that moment with Kurzon, it's time to move on.
Yeah. So
Anyway.
she goes into the tribble thing and having to break into the Imperial Palace.
Yeah. So, there was a mix of the modern looking Klingons and the other looking Klingons. So it's more of an issue of like who was ascendant at the time, based on like who was seen, like who got to go on starships, not the ridged Klingons back then. And so her host back then, she had a male host in those days, and I went by the name N'Jana Dax, which you look at that and try to tell me that that's not Indiana Jones.
Right.
The hat, there's something that looks like a whip. He's also got a shiny, pointy batleth.
An open shirt.
And it's just, I try to go between like Indiana and N'Jana. Like it's sort of close
Yeah, it
enough.
is.
So, yeah, N'Jana Dax spent that lifetime treasure hunting. And they were after the Batleth of Malor, the tyrant who was slain by Kallus himself. And it was going to be a switcheroo type situation.
Yeah.
Like, put the fake there, run away with the obvious one. And N'Jana was paired with three, like, they're the three stooges.
Dax. We can
I keep struggling
just
with
say Dax was
that.
paired with three Klingons who are buffoons. And they're like, a good way to get in to steal this Batleth? A Trojan tribble.
They got enough tribbles together, and
Yes.
like the way that you described it was sort of
It's like a Transformer tribble.
like the centipede thing of like joining everyone together to make
Human
one.
centipede.
Yes. It
You.
was not a great thing.
Yeah.
But it's like a gigantic fur ball and there's a hatch in it. So
They all climbed in.
and they were like Didn't take long for the Emperor's men to scan the giant tribble and determine it was completely harmless because of our special implants. So it's there, and you know how little tribbles like give you a nice, calming, tranquil feeling? Imagine that, but ramped way up, commensurate
Yeah.
with the size of the giant tribble. Like this put the whole court to sleep with its gentle
So
purring.
they popped out and they're like, we only have a certain amount of
And you know what they use? They have freaking earmuffs to
time.
protect themselves. So they grab the blade, except the blade,
Really irritates Tribbles.
it's giving off subsonic pulses, which Tribbles find extremely objectionable. And this is why M'lore was such a tyrant, because his Bat'leth was giving off all these evil vibes. So the Tribbles, not a fan. They explode into thousands of smaller tribbles. Everyone wakes up and they make their escape in a shuttle.
The only way for them to escape is to leave the Bat'leth behind so that the tribbles kept agitating.
Yes. And unfortunately for the Klingon Emperor, the tribbles that emerged were some sort of strange carnivorous mutant tribbles with a taste for Klingon flesh. And that is why
They hate.
Klingons hate
Yes.
tribbles. And at this point, the table is very full of empties.
Yep.
And Worf comes around. He's like, "You all have been drinking." And
And he's like, and you got quiet
when I
because it was
arrived,
about me.
and it's true. So, Mr. Morn, what have my colleagues been saying about me behind my back? And O'Brien and Julian were like, we were just speculating about your people and their relations with tribbles. And Worf is like, why? So Bashir's like, because you were so tight-lipped about it during our visit to K7 when you just wouldn't explain anything about it. And Worf sh or Quark shows up with a dish for Worf, and it's a big thing that looks like tribbles. It is cold Klingon gah. Served live in a piping hot shell of Ferengi buzz gourd. And can I just you in a bite, Constable? And Odo's face is like
Yeah.
abject horror
Yeah.
at this dish. And it's so bad. But we do get a fun ending moment where Odo's saying, yeah, they've all had these weird, fanciful spins on what's happening, and they've all gotten it wrong. Morin told me the real story earlier today, and if y'all just listen closely, I'm sure he'd be happy to tell you the truth about it. Morin, and the last panel is just his face.
Yeah. So something in this issue that stands out, they have a letters page. They print exactly one letter, is the full page, and
Oh.
it is super critical. It
Of
is
the art.
Gordon Hope Murray of Hong Kong, which I feel we've read a letter by him before.
Oh.
He fucking hates this book. Basically, like, he weighs in and this is where I picked up, because I haven't been tracking like what months these are coming out. Apparently, like the Star Trek issues and Deep Space Nine in particular have been delayed a lot, like
Oh.
not shipping on time and the previous storytelling. And something was pointed out, I think here, the writer changed, and I think when the writer changed is when I started really liking DS9. That,
Because it felt more like an episode.
yes. So
Like, this is a bottle episode. This is one of those where, like, the A plot is just them drinking and sharing stories and doing, like, a clip show sort of a vibe. While something actually relevant to the long term is happening in, like, the B storyline
Yeah.
or the C storyline. But the main driver is just this bottle, like, just them having a good
Literally a
time.
bottle.
Yes. When the quantity of empties on that table.
The editorial note ends, a concerted effort has been made by Marvel with Paramount's help to ensure this doesn't happen anymore. About like all the delays and everything.
And
Oh.
like the people are poo-pooing the quality of the art, and like there's some questionable shading, but
Yeah.
other than that, like it's still pretty good and fun.
Yeah. This person does say that early voyages, Starfleet Academy, and Unlimited have not struck out once so far in producing stories that are entertaining, in the unlikely event they are not well plotted.
Oh. Do think this is one of those things where DS9 aged better than the others? Like it became more popular,
In syndication,
yeah, like decades
yeah.
after it was off air.
Also, in the back cover, on the interior back cover, the old UPN symbol,
Oh,
like,
before it merged with WB to create the CW.
yes, like straight up the yellow circle, blue triangle, and red square of UPN.
Oh, remember when 3D graphics were a thing and it became a sphere, a cone, and a
Yeah,
cube?
yes. Apparently, The Incredible Hulk with She-Hulk was a cartoon.
Oh,
And Jumanji, the
I do
cartoon.
remember Jumanji.
Yeah. How about Sweet Valley High or Breaker High?
A few sis One of my sisters had a few Sweet Valley High books, but I never read them because they didn't look interesting.
Well, this was a TV show.
Oh.
So,
That's even less interesting.
UPN Sunday morning, bold move, UPN, like staking out that Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You were probably at church. I wasn't.
Oh, only if we didn't go to 5 o'clock mass
Oh.
on Saturday.
All right. So, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, issue 15. It's all about Garak.
We love Garak.
We're 8 years in the past on Tarok Nor as a woman with a very modern haircut, actually.
Yeah.
Or it looks like a disco haircut. Star Trek Discovery.
Oh yeah, the
I
what's her
forget.
face with
That I really wanted to care about her, and then they killed her off.
No, she's still alive.
Oh, she is. I
She's
said,
the helmsman. They killed off the science officer.
oh, guess I maybe should finish that series one of these years or
Or not.
not. Anyway, this woman is stalking about, and Garak is stalking her, and she's like, "Why are you attacking me? I'm a courier for the Obsidian Order. You're with the Obsidian Order. We're working together." And he's like, "Yeah, we work for the same people, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're both on the same side." And he fucking kills her.
Yeah, there's some stabby stabs happening.
So there's a murder here. And then we cut to the present time, and Garak is opening his shop, and he thinks he sees her.
The same woman, the same haircut,
The
like
same
tattoos
tattoo,
on the shaved portion of her head.
the scalp. Yes, scalp tattoos.
Yes.
And he runs after her, she runs away, and he's like, something's not adding up here. So he sort of goes about his business. He goes to his regular lunch with Bashir.
I do love that that's continued.
Yeah.
Like, for as much as that person didn't like the DS9 comics, it's held some things pretty true. Like, these lunches are still happening.
Yeah.
Morin has the reputation for talking your ear off, but he doesn't actually, you never see him speaking.
Do you see this winged monkey with a sundae?
No,
Like
but
a
that's a
little ice cream sundae in corks?
good for the little winged monkey.
Yeah.
But these running gags that are in here are so fun.
They are.
So I'm glad that that translated from the show to the comics.
Yeah. So Bashir's like, "You seem preoccupied lately," and Garak sort of tells the story of what happened.
In a weird, like, very upfront sort of
Yeah,
way.
he's like, "There's no harm in telling you." And I'm like, it's not necessarily Garak, but
No.
he doesn't know what's going on. He's like, "It's not ghosts because I don't have a conscience."
Right, but I've seen this woman who I murdered because the
Yep.
Obsidian Order got rid of all the Ulian couriers. Like, they were
Yes.
a species, very peaceful, but also very telepathic. So telepathic messages are how the Obsidian Order would sometimes send things. And at one point, the Obsidian Order just got rid of them all. Like, they knew too much. They became like out of fashion. So they were all murdered slash liquidated, whatever the spy term is
Yeah.
for just killing everyone.
So Garak glances over, and beyond a Dabo table, he sees this woman again and picks up a chair and just throws it in the general direction.
This is Lita's Dabo table. Like, that's her in the background.
Oh, good catch. Bashir calls for security. He's like, Odo, Garak's on a rampage. Security, get here real quick.
At first, he's like, there's a violent incident in Quarks. And Odo's like, when isn't there a violent incident in
And this is
Quarks?
where Deputy Atana from last episode shows up again.
Yeah,
It's not Kira.
they're trying to make Etana slash not Kira a thing.
Yeah, because Kira has not been in any of the back half of the series.
Which is a shame, A. And B, they must have needed like some lower level security person. But we normally see like very placid Bajoran guys in security, who are not very good at their job.
Really not. They're hunky though.
They are.
Garak is then brought to sick bay, and Bashir is like, your mind is basically collapsing.
Like your neural pathways are degrading.
You're gonna die.
Zial is very concerned.
Yeah, see y'all still alive.
I did like Zial. So I thought she was a great character.
So what
So really, these comics have sort of hit a sweet spot in the show.
it really
Like a
has.
lot of good things are happening. Like Zial is there. It's right up to the Dominion War, like on the cusp.
So Bashir puts a neural blocker on Garak so he can still like function while he tries to find a cure for him.
Yeah.
And then
He goes back to his shop.
and the woman is there, but then runs again.
Yeah.
And he's about to bash her in.
Like he runs after, he's like, it's still annoying how many places there are to hide on this station, even after 8 years of being here.
And he sort of has a bad headache
He
and
sort of
cries out.
collapses.
And she's like, I'm not the person you killed, I'm her sister.
I'm not
And
here for revenge like you think that I am.
yeah, I'm actually here to help you.
So fun fact, there is an again in the footnotes an episode where the Obsidian Order put an implant in Garak's mind that had gone wonky. So Bashir removed it, Garak went through withdrawal. It was like a whole bonding thing for the two of them.
And they address that. They're like, is there anything else? And Bashir's like, there's nothing inorganic left in him.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's sort of like when he was on Empok Nor and turned against all of us due to his psychological conditioning.
Yeah, so we find out from the sister that the courier left a telepathic memory engram within Garak that should have killed him years ago, but the
Our
implant
boy's just so strong.
slash he had the implant back then, and that's what prevented the engram from killing him. But now that the implant is gone, the memory engrams are taking effect, and he's just like losing it.
And he's like, no, you can't do this. Like, I killed your sister. Like, I don't need your help.
Yeah, why are you helping me?
And you don't need to suffer for me. But then when she's like, you don't have a choice, Etana comes up and she's like, back away from the spoonhead and do it slowly,
And
just hurling a slur.
the sister is like holding Garak on either side of his head. He's out of it. And he sort of shrieks and Etana fires.
And then Etana's stunned, like she stuns her. But I think
Yes.
she's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead,
She.
already. She like spent her energies.
Etana can't find any life signs on either Garak or this other woman. So there's an emergency beam out to sick bay. And we should say, during the episode in Quarks, it was Etana who responded. And it was Etana who phasered Garak, even though Odo was like, we don't need to. But she does it.
She
And.
just hates Cardassians because of the occupation.
Yes, and she says like I'm trigger happy because they're Cardassians. When a Cardassian's around, I want to shoot something. And so this is the second time that she's shot at Garak. We find out a little bit more.
Yes, she flatlines in sick
Yeah,
bay.
and she dies. But we find.
Because her neural pathways degenerated.
Yes. So, Yulians were in a TNG episode. They're very telepathic. I feel like there was an. I don't know if this is the one where the three of them and like one is learning about chocolate, but the picture that's in Birth of the Federation, the computer game, is this older, frumpier dude
Oh, okay.
who hung. I
Yeah.
remember him hanging out with Picard,
Yeah.
but I don't remember much of the role for it.
No.
So very telepathic. It's like she has taken on the engrams that her sister had left. And Garak has a hard time accepting this when he once he comes to.
And it's sort of like he's coming to terms like with the fact that she didn't want revenge.
It was like a forgiveness
Yes,
thing.
and he isn't built for that.
No, and it's showing that sort of like selflessness is not something he has ever been trained to
Yeah.
deal with. So the fact that it's happened is very strange to him.
Yeah.
And earlier in the comic, it says, or he says, "Ha, that would be fine if I had a conscience, but I don't." And then at the end, it's like, "Oh, Garak, you just said this is weighing heavy on your conscience. I thought you said you didn't have one." And Garak says, like, "Oh, that's right, Doctor. Thank you for reminding me of like one of those subterfuge things that Garak likes to do."
Yeah.
So
All right. So what?
I thought it was spot on in
Yeah.
terms of Garak, spot on in terms of like a darker episode that makes you think. Like DS9 excelled at that type of
Yeah,
episode,
they did.
especially right after a fun bottle episode.
Yeah, a tribble.
Yeah.
So this was the last issue, and they talk about it in the letters page.
Oh.
DS9 fans, we have some good news and some bad news. As you may or may not have heard, this monthly version of Deep Space Nine is coming to an end. That's the bad news. The good news is that Deep Space Nine will be back in May 1998. We are going to continue telling stories of our crew, but now they will be in a limited series format. That limited series never happened.
I was about to say, did that ever materialize?
Nope.
It was like a transporter accident. It didn't materialize.
Yeah. What does this mean for you, the fans? Well, now our artists will have a greater amount of time to work their craft rather than trying to keep up the grind of a monthly schedule. We know that you have been concerned and even angered by the tardiness of some of our titles. This format should solve all of those problems. So be here in June. They just said May in a prior in the paragraph before. For Star Trek Deep Space Nine number one. Don't forget to continue reading our other Star Trek titles. Voyager, also in this new format and debuting in January 1998. Again, never happened.
Was there some sort of, they didn't have the Star Trek license for very long.
No.
Is this around the time that they lost it? And
So
is
if
it
we,
because of like,
I'm not sure, like I'm going to go back to the checklist, the bullpen bulletins checklist. And at this point, Star Trek The Untold Voyages, which Keith Williams was on
oh
inks for
yeah.
all those, and I had him sign all the issues, is just coming out with number one of five. So this is cover dated March 1998. So this would have hit stands in like January. So they only had the license for a few months more. I feel I'd have to look up in like memory beta.
So that might explain why it never materialized. And if they're citing the art as being the slow step for
Yeah.
why these issues are coming out,
And they switched artists. Like
it sort of makes sense. Like,
this is a different art team than the Luoxana 2. Like
yeah.
they were pulling in anyone they could, I feel. The inker on this is actually Joseph Rubinstein, who
Do we see him at C2E2?
maybe in passing, he's like a legendary inker.
Like,
Like,
shared a table with another dude?
no,
Oh.
those were letterers. That was Tom Orzechowski and Rick Parker.
Oh, gotcha.
They're still printing letters, and the response is like, although the initial issues of Deep Space Nine may have lacked that, quote, sparkle you were referring to, we hope the recent issues have changed your mind. Terry Pallett came in and pinch hit before his stint on Voyager with issues 10 and 11, which is the Wauxana. And then the crossover ones, they don't address issue 12, but issue 13, Keith Williams was on. And then newcomer Greg Scott was on this. Greg's work can be seen in Unlimited Number 9, which came out right after this. So if you're thinking about that prior series we covered, which only lasted 10 issues.
Yeah.
And In the upcoming Deep Space Nine limited series set for a May release.
They can't get the dates right.
No, they were.
And it sort of makes sense. Like, the art is so involved in these pages. Like,
and the inks. Like, it's not only the pencils, it's the inks, the colors.
Like, there's an amazing amount of detail in these.
And I just don't.
Which you sort of need for a Star Trek comic, but you can't.
But
you can't squish all that work into a month.
Yes, you can. DC did it for years.
Oh.
DC had the Star Trek license for 8 years or something like that. They produced a ridiculous amount of comics.
Do you think they overloaded the artist?
They switched. So, I've talked with Gordon Purcell before. And I'm like, oh, Gordon, you did this. And he's like, sometimes, things were in such a hurry and I wasn't on that issue, but my name was on the cover.
Oh.
They were falling behind, but they had different artist teams. So if you go through, the DC stuff and you look, it's not very often that the same artist is on four issues in a row or something.
I could see that system making sense of having two strings and one takes the even numbers, one takes the odd numbers. So you have twice the amount of time to get things done.
So I don't know if Marvel ever caught on to that. It seems like they were drowning.
Yeah.
Which really sucks. This is the last Deep Space Nine issue. They were teasing a Voyager limited series and a Deep Space Nine limited series that never happened.
And these two feel very DS9.
Yes. And even the Lwaxana stuff, that was very foundational. That was a great, fully fleshed out episode. You had an A storyline and a B storyline going on in there. These, you pretty much get a single storyline, but self-contained and tight.
And one of the things that you said last night about these are that you can see them as an episode.
Yeah. Which the initial issues of DS9, it was a comic.
Yeah.
It was very much, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, you shouldn't expect that. And in this, it might have been in the previous, let me flip open real quick, to that really long letter that was critical. They were trying to make a point that, a comic is a comic and a show is a show. Any comparison that we get to the show is a boon for us. That's great. We'd love to be compared to Deep Space Nine, the show.
Oh, the response is saying that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, the issues, these are a different medium. So.
Right. And that's sort of what we talked about way back when with The Wheel of Time, the books versus the show. Yeah, it's a different medium. You have to change things up.
Yeah.
But somehow, with these, they found a vibe that is very true to the atmosphere, to the tone of the show. It felt very hand in glove.
Yeah. And I'm really sad because there were two writers that had taken over, Mangles and Martin. So it was a writing duo that was tackling these later issues.
And the, like I said, the time frame that this was placed in terms of the show is just ripe for storytelling potential.
You had a lot of character development in the show that you could draw upon.
And a lot of characters. And like we've said a million times, even characters that you don't see very often, you can totally bring them back.
Yeah.
And give them something that's not going to affect the show, but it'd be it's an added win episode. It's an added Weyoun episode or comic. Something with Nog. And all very tonally different. You can take them all in different directions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity.
I still have it on my list once we get through all of these to reach out to Chip Carter and have him on the show.
That would be awesome.
To talk about you were on the Paramount side of things. And this is officially Paramount Comics. It's Marvel, but it's a Paramount imprint.
Yeah.
And this contract did not last long and things were real abrupt. Even in Unlimited, when we reached the end of that a few months ago, they were oh yeah, Unlimited's done. If you're subscribed to it, you're going to get Iron Man instead.
I remember that.
It'd be interesting to see the business behind it. Who pulled this plug? Did Paramount want too much money for the license? Were they unhappy with what was being produced?
Was it because of the delays that they were just like, we can't handle these titles? We can't handle this property?
I don't know, because the editor, Tim Tui, I haven't Googled him recently like I have Chip Carter, but it's just too bad because I feel they really got momentum like
And hit
midway
their
through.
stride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were grooving and it is such good storytelling. And this is the last one of
Yep.
Deep Space Nine. So which one do you want to do next? We left it up to the Star Trek gays last time and they picked Deep Space Nine. So we have we need to get to Telepathy War sometime in the
I know.
next year. Which luckily, since all these series are
So
so
short.
short, we will.
So it's
So we have
between Voyager
and
and
Starfleet Academy.
Let's say Starfleet Academy.
Okay. So our next Star Trek episode will be the beginning of Starfleet Academy. I don't even know. Are they standalone issues? Are there story arcs? Who
But
knows?
there's a tie-in to Telepathy War.
There definitely is.
And I don't know why I looked out the window to get help making that decision from the squirrel that was bounding across the way.
Oh, it's full of some club crackers that I threw out in the lawn that were expired.
It's so true. But I think hopefully the starlings have left because that bird feeder went from very full to very empty very fast. Or the squirrels climbed down the chain.
And have figured out how to knock it.
Yeah, so I refilled it and wrapped the chain around the top to make sure
Smart.
they couldn't. It's one of those like big umbrella feeders so that if the squirrel tries to like let go and climb on, it'll just slide off the top without being able to grab onto it.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Deep Space Nine. Next Star Trek episode, we'll be going to the academy, back to school.
Oh no.
Fun.
It'll be great.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Be well.
Bye.